The theme for this evening's service is Be Reconciled or Reconciled. And we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where Paul talks about that. And then he talks about the hardships that he goes through in order to make this message known of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be a sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And then he lists them. In great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonour, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jacob.
Thanks, Rolly. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, what do you think of when you hear the word reconciliation? In some ways for me, the word reconciliation has a bittersweet meaning. Because if reconciliation has to occur, there must have been a problem in the first place. It makes me think of when you have a brew with a friend or a family member. A break in the relationship doesn't make me feel very good at all. And all that is on my mind is the need to be put right with the other person. To be reconciled gives such a sense of relief and joy because the relationship has been restored. It would be wonderful if we didn't need reconciliation, but unfortunately, our sinful nature makes this inevitable. Paul and the Corinthian church were needing some reconciliation. There'd been tensions building up and their relationship had deteriorated. In 2 Corinthians, we get a real-life look at the life of estranged relationships between a church leader and the people he loves and serves. His integrity here has been called into question by some false prophets who had been trying to undermine his work. Could you imagine what it would be like to be Paul? It sounds like such hard work. How do you mend a relationship with a group of people who are questioning your integrity? On a human level, this seems almost impossible to do. We too are in a similar boat to the Corinthians. We live unrighteous lives, not worthy of salvation. Our sin leaves us looking out for ourselves more than other people. You don't need to look very far to see in our own lives what Paul describes in verses 4 and 5. Troubles, hardships, and distresses. Beatings, imprisonments, and riots. Hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. What can we do to get out of this mess? what could Paul do to fix the problem? So Paul takes the only tack that he could. He speaks about what they have in common, their reconciliation through Christ. The context for this falls just a few verses before in chapter 5, verse 18. All this, which is the new creation, is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. How does this reconciliation take place? It is through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for forgiveness. Through Christ, we are reconciled and forgiven. Verse 21 repeats this point. God made him to be him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So here we have what is termed as the great exchange. Christ took your sin when he was on the cross, and in return, you have his righteousness. What a wonderful gift. Our guilt was loaded onto the innocent Jesus. Christ had our sin. We have Christ's righteousness. Our human hearts work in the opposite way to this. We try to take what is good from others and leave them with what we don't want. But here, Christ took what we didn't want, even though that we didn't know we didn't want it. And he gave us something that's not only good, but the best thing that will ever happen, salvation and life with him. In a letter Luther wrote to George Spenlein, an Augustinian friar, and in case you're wondering what a friar is, it's similar to a monk, except that a friar lives out in society, not separated in a monastery. So Luther writes this to him, and I think it sums up what I've been saying perfectly. Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, just as I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine, and have given to me what is yours. You have taken upon yourself what you were not, and have given to me what I was not. This is what Paul uses for the basis of reconciliation with the Corinthian church. Because both Paul and the members of the church are reconciled to God through Christ, they can be reconciled to each other. Christ and his forgiveness are the common link between them. If the Corinthians take their God's grace in vain, they lose what is in common between them. Paul urges that now is the day of salvation. This forgiveness and reconciliation is not just something for the future, but it is a fact and a reality right now. The acceptable time began with Christ on the cross. Now is the acceptable time. We have free salvation today. The new era began with Jesus. Since his death and resurrection, the now of salvation is available every moment. So because we have reconciliation to God through Christ, our relationship with God is restored. And because of this restored relationship, we can come to God in repentance. In Christ, we have both the freedom and the motivation to do this. Due to our sinful world, we have conflict, riots, hardship, afflictions. For Paul, this took the form of beatings, imprisonments, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. These may be the same for us, but your own hardship and affliction might be quite different. However, the root cause is the same, a sinful world. Thankfully, through Christ, this root cause has been dealt with. Even though we still struggle with sin, we have a God who wipes our slate clean and restores us to him and gives us peace. Jesus' words in John 16, verse 33 are particularly relevant here. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, But take heart, I have overcome the world. We see that God's grace is there even during hard times. In fact, this is where we can see his grace all the more. So maybe you're wondering why we have this reading on Ash Wednesday. Well, Lent is the time where we focus on both the suffering of Christ and also our own discipleship and repentance. It is also a time of trust and thanksgiving as we remember our Saviour and the salvation and forgiveness he brings each and every day. It is a time of reflection where we are aware and admit that we are sinful and have messed up. Our hearts are open to the need for a Saviour. Because we are reconciled to God, we are able to come to him in repentance. There's an ongoing nature to repentance. Through repentance and faith, we are reconciled. And because we are reconciled and know God's mercy, we can continue to be honest with God about our failing, knowing that he is forgiving and merciful in Christ. So this Lenten season, come before God, repenting of your sins, and asking him to forgive and renew you, knowing that in Christ, he will welcome you home in love, grace, and mercy. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we sing our next song.